Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Lame!
Who's ready for some
great news?
Now that wasn't on me.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
I have to tell you that I am ready for some great news. I don't know how much you don't watch the news, Kevin, because you're a kid. But over the weekend, I felt it was one of those times where every single story was awful. Like kids getting hit by school buses and just all and fires everywhere. I mean, it was just we need a palate cleanser here, Allie. So why don't you get us started?
I agree. Thank you, Bean.
No, I mean, do your great news story.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about great news. I love the fact that so many people now send us great news
Me
stories.
Me too.
They send them on Twitter. They do it on Instagram. They email it to us. I love that because people are now on the lookout for stories that they maybe just scrolled past. They wouldn't take a minute to stop and read. And this one was sent to us from a young lady named Kat Corbett. And she said, this immediately made me think of you guys and great news. Although she called it good news. So come on, Kat. I mean, let's get it
she
together.
She hasn't heard the show.
Listen.
Sometimes it's only good, but we try to pick great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that this is falling on National Donut Day makes it even better. So every day for the last 30 years, John Chan has greeted customers at his Donut City location in Seal Beach starting at 4:30 a.m. Him and his wife, Stella, they've become a staple in the community. For him, he said it's just nice working with his best friend and partner. But lately, you better get there earlier and earlier because the goodies are flying off the shelves like never before. And here's why. Last month, his wife had a brain aneurysm and she was rushed to the hospital and she continues now to recover at a nursing facility. And as you can imagine, it's been extremely difficult for the family. And when people in Seal Beach found out about this, they thought, you know what we should do? We should go in every day early and buy everything off the shelves so he can leave earlier and earlier every single day and spend more time with his wife.
That's awesome.
So they've been coming in and cleaning him out by 10:30 in the morning, which is wonderful. So they said the sooner we can get him home and get support for her, the better for both of them and the community.
But what about me if I want a donut at noon?
You don't get one, dude.
Bean.
But they're closed, though.
Right.
Because they have sold out.
I don't care for this at all.
So lovely John Chan can go to his wife Stella's side and be with her as she gets better and recovers. So got to hand it to the people in Seal Beach who saw this and thought, how can we help? And it's just such a simple way because I know, especially a guy that's had this place for 30 years, he's not just going to shut down. He's going to get in there early, get the job done, work as hard as he can so he can then leave later in the day. So to make it even easier for him to leave even earlier, that's it's such a blessing. So that's my
great news.
Donuts, right?
Right.
Bean, there are other places, too, that you can get donuts. You should look into it.
Great news involves one young man's reaction to the awful anti-Semitic attack in Pittsburgh last week that killed 11 people and left six others injured, including four police officers. You've seen the outpouring on the news in Pittsburgh of blood drives and vigils and all the crowdfunding campaigns. And this one involves crowdfunding as well. A Chicago-based activist named Tariq El-Masidi works with a Muslim fundraising website called Launch Good. Within 2 hours of hearing about the shooting at the temple, he started an online campaign with a goal of $25,000 to help the people there. And this surprises a lot of people because this is a Muslim organization that generally raises money for Muslim concerns. Well, as of last night, they were well over $200,000 that has been raised for funeral costs of victims of the temple shooting and for medical bills for those who were injured. Putting our religious differences or even our political differences aside, the core of all of us is that we have a shared humanity, he said. We wanted to reach out as human beings to help. He said that, by the way, they've already started distributing some of the donations as of this morning. He also said that he was inspired by the story of the Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam. When he saw a funeral procession for a Jewish man, the Prophet stood up to pay his respects. When his disciples next to him noted that the man was not a Muslim, Muhammad replied, "Was he not a soul?" Mr. El-Masidi said that while Judaism and Islam have differences, they are linked by tragic similarities. Followers of both faiths have been targeted in bigoted attacks. This shared discrimination has brought both communities closer. So within a few days, he raised over $200,000 to help victims and family members of victims in the temple shooting.
Wow.
And I just think that's so beautiful when you see people of very, you know, it's easy in our mind to think about Muslims and Jews being at cross purposes. But when you get down to the basic humanity of it all, I think it's wonderful that something like this can happen. And that's my great news.
Mine is a soldier who was helping hurricane relief mission in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He lives in Charlotte. He goes to North Carolina and he's helping people clean up and looking for survivors and everything else because that was one of the hardest hit places for the hurricane. And while he was gone, his home was robbed.
No.
In Charlotte, somebody broke into his back door, took his computer, took everything that was in there.
Man.
Stuff like that he didn't have a replacement for, and they get home and it's just his stuff is everywhere and it's all the important stuff is missing.
You may be misunderstanding the concept of great news.
So then his friend Mary Capron decided to put up a GoFundMe page to help him recoup some of the costs. Mm-hmm. She put it up and she said, "This is my goal, $5,000. In less than a day, people had sent in $15,000.
Wow.
In less than 24 hours. And then, and this is my favorite part of the story, he, Luis Ocampo, went and said, "I'm closing the GoFundMe because $15,000 is enough.
Oh, wow.
And I don't want to take advantage of people's kindness."
Seriously.
Right?
This guy.
So her friend, so his friend that put up the GoFundMe, good on you. All
yeah.
400 people that donated, good on you.
Yeah.
And good on him for just closing it down and saying, "I have enough."
Yeah, we're good.
Use your money someplace else.
Mm.
That's sweet, and that's my
great news.
The Kevin and Bean Show mornings on K-Rock. K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
Sounds kind of boring.
Dave isn't a good speller. Now, I know.
Great speller, by the way.
Now, I know that it's.
Why is it that when Dave, whenever Dave says, "I'm a great fill in the blank,"
right,
you know it's the exact
opposite.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not the guy who should be calling him out because
sure.
I make a lot of spelling mistakes.
I've read your texts.
However,
somehow.
Sometimes he does it from the Kevin and Bean account, and
yeah.
it's. He has a particular problem, especially with one word. So he'll say, "Next week we have a bunch of great guests." coming on the show.
Five people.
Then list five people, and we'll go, "Dave, it's multiple." If guest is one, guests is
we have
more
great
than
guest.
One.
That sounds like you're having Christopher Guest on.
He's done that many different times.
Yeah.
And I emailed about it, and he's like, "Oh, man, that's really a problem. I can't.
Oh, I don't know there's an S at guest."
He can't get it. Right?
I just don't know what it is. I don't know why that one word, that frickin' S, I just can't ever play something to correct. Because sometimes I'll say guests, and it's 1D. Like with guests.
Really?
Yeah, it's with guests, plural, and it's just like Brad.
Is this the only plural you have trouble with that you know of?
Oh, good question.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's the only one. It's constant. It's Chip will send me a text. Yeah, it's no S. Or S. You know, like, it's, I just.
But I emailed with you, and then I texted you, and then you didn't change it, which I thought was odd. So well, I took it down.
Well, see, Kevin, you don't take it down because it already had retweets from everybody who was involved. Mm. So good job on that.
Yeah, I took it down because it really is embarrassing.
No one even notices it.
Mm, wrong.
They just assume that Kevin wrote it.
And that's possible.
That's true, by the way.
That's very possible.
That's true. Well, the topic is there are words that you just, they're just roadblocks for you. There's some word that you can't say or spell. I guess it could be spelled, too, right, in Dave's case.
Yeah.
Brad, as a comedian.
Yes.
You make your living using the English language.
Yes.
What is difficult for you?
All right, hold on. Definitely.
Definitely.
I can't say that word.
Really?
I can't spell that word. If you held a gun to my wife's head and said, spell it or she dies, I'd be like, babe, it was a good run.
I'm definitely going to miss you.
Why are we holding a gun to her head and not yours?
Yeah. You know, because I've got to. Never mind.
Now, isn't that interesting? Now, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Steve. Is that the only one or are there other similar words that you have trouble with as well?
That's the word that pops into my head. I can't. Say it.
Do you not attempt it? Do you stay away from it?
Yes. I'm go through a thesaurus and try to figure out other words.
Any other words.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure instead of I'm definitely.
When I hear Brad try to work through syllables by syllable to say the word definitely,
mm-hmm.
It recalls all the years, Kevin, that I could not say entrepreneur. Entrepreneur yeah. was...
He would work through it really slowly like you just did.
Every time it would come up where I would have to say it, I would go, oh, yeah, this guy says he's an entrepreneur. And then I actually, I'm fine with it now
he
because...
conquered it.
I conquered it. Because I sat down and I said, this is ridiculous. And I said it 500 times in a row.
Wow.
Honestly, I just had to keep trying it to get to the point where those syllables made sense together. Entrepreneur, yeah. Entrepreneur, entrepreneur. But you used to be able to, I mean, that hold the gun to your head. Kevin, you remember, I tried hard on the air many times and was not able to say it.
Fantastic.
Now, Allie, you've been busting me lately on a word.
Yeah.
That I guess I'm more unaware that I say incorrect. What is it?
You say realistic. Instead of it's realistic,
oh, yeah.
Say realistic.
There's an
realistic.
A in there.
Realistic.
So am I just talking too fast?
Say it one more time, Bean.
Realistic.
That sounded like real estate-istic.
Am I slurring it?
It's sort of like a yeah.
Yeah, you're just saying realistic.
It's sort of like realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Realistic.
Yeah.
All right.
And you also say Thanksgiving. Instead of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's
putting the emphasis on the wrong part.
The world is split on that. That's not an
No.
That is not an incorrect pronunciation. Half the people say Thanksgiving, and the other half of the people say Thanksgiving. That just depends on probably where you were raised.
Oh, okay.
Bean is
same with all of my problems.
Yeah, Bean is very Trump-like with things like many people are saying.
But I'm serious because
know how to say Thanksgiving.
I have seen articles about that exact topic. Do you say Thanksgiving or do you say Thanksgiving? I mean, it's pretty split on that.
Interesting.
For reals. The other...
says for reals.
He does. But he does that on purpose. It's tough to tell if he's joking,
right.
But he does do that on purpose.
And the other word, and then I want to hear from you, Allie, what your word is. The other word that I have to consciously be careful of, and I've had listeners yell at me about this before with, you know, tweets and emails and stuff, is I always want to say Arctic instead of Arctic. And I don't know where that came from.
Wow.
But it's Arctic.
Yeah, now that you say that, I'm probably the same way.
Yeah.
You say Arctic sometimes, right?
The Arctic Circle.
Right.
Yeah, and where does that come from? Why do we say Arctic?
No
because
idea.
Arctic seems odd and difficult to say.
Yeah, there's just like a C in there, and you're like, that doesn't make
that
any sense.
That C shouldn't be in there.
No,
so
I'm just going to make an executive
but it was
decision.
Sure fun when we had the Arctic monkeys in.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Allie, how about you?
My word, we've talked about this before, and I still won't say it. I add an L to it. It's amphitheater.
I'm sorry?
It should be amphitheater, because what? You're amplifying is what it should be. Amphitheater. But it's amphitheater.
She says amphitheater for some reason.
No, I say amphitheater. I put an L in.
So,
oh.
Yes, amphitheater.
So in your
doesn't
opinion.
Doesn't that sound right?
No.
Oh.
No. So I did my April Foolishness set, mm-hmm. my very first one, at the Gibson Amphitheater.
Where?
At the
no, you tell us, Allie.
At the amphitheater.
How come you can't say amphitheater?
Amphitheater.
I mean, at least there's a sound in there, but it's not an L.
Amphitheater.
What? That is so
close
crazy.
Enough.
I hate it. I hate that word so.
All right, let's take one call before the break, and let's make it Monique, line 5, please, Los Angeles. We're looking for the word that, for whatever reason, you can't say it or spell it, and you've tried, but you always get it wrong. Monique, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your word?
Thank you. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank
I
you
love
very much.
You guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
My word is, I have to break it down, mm-hmm. strategically.
That was very good. And when you're not thinking about it, and you don't slow down. How does it come out? How do you usually say it?
Just all sorts of effed up. I'm not even gonna attempt it because
right.
my husband always has to correct it anyway. So I just try my best not to even use it. Even when sure. I have to type it, I even just think of other words to type that might
exactly.
mean.
Exactly. Like yeah. Brad, you completely yeah. avoid that word.
That's yes. very funny.
So yeah. you must have loved the Will Ferrell, George W. Bush sketch when he said strategery.
Yes.
You're like,
yeah, there you go.
That's
good.
Probably
you
what
go.
Threw her off.
Yeah. yeah.
Monique, thank you for finally picking up the phone and giving us a call. What is your word? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Bitter, predictable, whining disc jockeys. It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Taking your phone calls about you have a particular problem with words. A single word, most of us.
I just love that you do that intro, Kevin. We're taking phone calls from you losers out there that have problems talking.
Losers.
Losers, please.
You don't mind.
For talking about spelling.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Dirty Dutch Junkie writes in, says, every time my hubby says the word tsunami, he says tusami. Just can't say it. Alex writes in, I can't believe Bean didn't mention the word that he says wrong at the end of every week. It's pronounced Friday, Bean.
Oh, that's funny. See?
That is true.
Not Fry-yay. Well, he's wrong about that. All right, let's get some calls on. Let's start with Chrissy Anaheim. Up first, line one on the Kevin to meet you. Everybody else, please hang on. We'll get to you.
Hi, it's my mom. She has a few words she can't pronounce properly.
Okay.
But the two that are really funny is Vietnamese and Buena Park.
What does she say instead of Buena Park?
She says Buena.
Buena Park.
Buena Park. I love okay. it.
Buena Park sounds like my babysitter back in the day.
Any Latino names are out of it because she can't pronounce any of them. And then Vietnamese, she says Vietnamese.
Vietnamese?
Vietnamese?
What's wrong with your mom?
I know.
I think you got to put her down. I'm sorry, Chrissy.
No, let her live.
Oh,
let
no,
her
she's
live,
going to the
Chrissy.
Home.
Too far gone. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go. Let's stay in Anaheim, line two. This is going to be Chris. We met Chrissy. Now let's meet Chris. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I can't spell occasionally.
Can't spell occasionally.
How do you screw it up?
Sometimes there's two C's, sometimes there's two S's.
I'm with you on that one.
Sometimes there's two L's.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. I hear you.
That's a difficult one.
That word has too much going on. I think that's allowed. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. Dominic is in Mission Viejo, line three, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Dominic.
Hi.
Hi.
What's the word? Have issues with the word crown.
Crown?
Crown, like the Netflix show?
Color. Like the thing you color with, but I always say crown, like the thing you wear on your head.
Oh, you say crayon is crown.
Oh, he's trying to say crayon?
Yes, I have a friend that does
crayon?
This as well.
Who says crayon?
What? How did you...
You don't say crayon?
He just said crayon.
Crayon?
C-R-A-N.
Crayon?
That's what Brad said. He was like, oh, you say crayon? No.
Wait, it's not crayon?
No, it's crayon.
It's crayon or crown.
We just discovered one for me.
Wait, Dominic, say it again.
Crown.
That's so weird.
All right, now say it the way you know it needs to be pronounced.
Crayon. Even trying, I can't do it.
I'm not laughing at you, Dominic.
Crayon.
No, no, no.
That's how it's said?
Yes, it's crayon.
Crayon. It's crayon.
I've been saying that wrong for years.
That's what I was just making fun of you for.
I say it like it's an ocean spray drink.
Thank you, Dominic.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, we're not making fun of anybody because we all have these words. Let's go to Yvette Burbank up next, line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Yvette.
Hi. So it's not a word that I can't really, like, spell, but it's a word that I mispronounce. I say salmon.
Oh, instead of salmon?
Yeah. And
I mean, there is an L there.
I eat a lot of sushi, so it's kind of an issue.
Now, when you order that, do people think you're being pretentious? Like, oh, salmon.
I don't know. No one. I mean, just my friends always make fun of me for it, and they also say that I say Rite Aid really weird. But
you say
I
what?
Really what?
Rite Aid. I love it. Rite Aid.
You don't say just.
Isn't that how
Rite
you
Aid?
Say it?
No.
No, it's Rite Aid.
Rite Aid?
No, Rite Aid. Emphasis on the right.
Rite Aid.
No.
Close enough.
Thank you, Matt. I love you. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, I have friends in Utah that say, oh, I just adopted such a cute kitten. And I say, oh, but you live in the mountains. How are you going to take care of it? Like, it makes no sense.
Right. Right, yeah. All right. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to line 6, please, in Van Nuys. We're going to say hi to Sean. He's got a good one.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, so mine is Axe.
Oh, ask a question?
All right, Sean, are you a black dude?
Yes.
All right, so you've
totally
grown,
forgiven.
You've grown up with Axe your whole life. You've heard it from elders your whole life. I don't know how it got started, but it's completely understandable. You've probably heard the word Axe more than you've heard the word ask in your whole life.
Well, I'm from Mississippi, and that's just how we say it down there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, but you know it's ask, right? You can't help yourself?
I'm trying to say ask. I didn't really realize I'm doing it. That it's like it's my Achilles kill. So I had one person
what?
Even call me out on it. It was like this really nice Caucasian lady, and she was like, "Are you trying to say ask?" And then that kind of made me feel weird.
I am just really surprised when you see people, high-profile people, people in the government, you know, famous athletes or actors, and they just stick with ACT. They stick with it because I think you're right. I think they go, that's how we pronounce it.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're going to allow it. Thank you very much.
I think you get a pass, Sean.
It's I do, too. Right. Thank you.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Just not funny,
K-Rock.
I had a great weekend.
Saw a tweet that was concerning.
Yeah. I went to Luc Robitaille's charity poker tournament. He does this every year.
Right.
He and his wife, Stacia, run a charity for kids who age out of the foster care community. Like at 18, they kick them out.
Right.
And so then they find kids that want to go to college and they sponsor them. And it's an amazing charity.
Wonderful.
And every year they do a poker tournament. So this was Saturday and it was at Santa Monica Museum of Flying. Have you ever been there?
Is it in the hangar?
No. Yeah. No. I think it's just a big building right there near the actual airport, Santa Monica Airport.
All right.
So this is the first year they had it there. So I drove in and it said event parking. And I went and I parked and I walked and I went into the event.
Easy. Yeah.
Easy peasy. Played poker. Sure. I don't know. There was like 300 people. And at one point, I should have been beat. About halfway through, I had a pair of tens and a guy had a pair of sevens. And then the board turned over and there was another seven. So he had 3 sevens. So I was like, I reached over and shook his hand. I was, congratulations, man. Good job. And I stood up to walk away. And then the last card came in. It was the only card that I could have won on. And I won.
So, did you then say psych and take your hand back?
I didn't say psych. No, I had already I had already finished shaking his hand, congratulating him.
You didn't wait for that last card?
Well, what are the chances?
Still. Though,
right,
there is a chance, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so what are the chances?
I have, I'm not positive what the chances are, but I have 2 of the 4.
Right.
Tens. So there's only 2 left. So what are the chances that they're actually going to, that card's going to come at that moment? It's the only card I could win on.
Yeah.
It did.
Okay.
So I was lucky, as lucky AF. So then I make it all the way to 8th place. Very happy. Get to the final table. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's watching. Party.
Sure.
Hey, I'm doing well. Everybody else is doing well. We're having a good time. Perhaps a beverage or two. And then they give out prizes for the top 10 places. Then I pick my prize, and it's fantastic. And then I walk outside.
Uh-huh.
And I look across the street.
Yeah.
At the parking lot that I'm parked in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's black. It's dark.
It's very much closed.
It's not just closed. You can't see it. I don't know. Somehow it's a black hole. You look
it's
in there
invisible.
And there's... It's invisible.
Oh, no.
There are no cars in there. And I thought, well, maybe that's not the lot I parked in.
Right.
Maybe it's next to it one way or the other. Because I haven't gone to Santa Monica Airport very often. So I walk all the way around holding my little bag of goodies. I had like a little
sure.
bag of stuff that I had won. And I walk all the way around the left side. No, it's locked. This is crazy. Walk all the way around to the right side.
Oh, no.
I completely walked around the entire parking lot. And it was locked.
Sure was.
And there were no lights. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes most places have some lighting.
Sure.
Nothing. I thought I could see my car. And I'm pretty sure it was the only one there.
Oh, man.
But I wasn't positive. I couldn't make it out. I was just looking. And then I thought, well, this fence doesn't look that high. This is where I go into Kevin thinking.
Sure.
I'm 6'2". It's about 2 feet up. So I'm thinking, I'm 8 foot fence. Not bad.
Sure.
Chain link. No,
okay.
There's no like wire at the top or anything to keep. So I climb the fence.
Okay.
Holding my little bag of goodies. And then I drop the bag of goodies and I get down on the other side and I go and I find my car. It's
okay.
there.
Excellent.
It is indeed the only car there.
Oh, right.
Just me. And I get in the car and I turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And only then do I think, there's no gates open.
Right. How are you getting out?
Right.
Uh-huh. Only
but
then.
I didn't have that thought until I had started the car.
So not before you went over the fence.
Correct.
Not as you walked to your car.
Very excited to see my car.
Sure. You were thrilled.
I found it.
Right.
I solved this.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking.
You sure are.
That's what I thought. So I turned it back off.
Uh-huh.
And I walked back to where I jumped the fence.
Uh-huh. Please tell me you at least left the bag of goodies in the car.
I didn't. That's funny.
You brought it with you.
I didn't even think of that for 1 second.
Kev, doggy, dog.
Kev, dog.
Better take my goodies with me and get back over this fence.
And I did the tweet, and I got a bunch of responses from people. And right this second when you said it, is the first time I thought I could have left a little bag of goodies in the car. So I take my bag of goodies, and I re-jump the fence.
Sure.
And I call an Uber, and then the Uber comes about 15 minutes later.
Oh, good.
And I take the Uber, and I go home and go to bed.
Oh,
so
heaven.
It's a pretty triumphant beginning of the night.
Right.
With some luck, and then not so much of an ending.
Well, then it dipped down, but then again triumphant because you got to your car.
Right.
It's like a roller coaster of emotions.
Exactly. I'm thinking to myself, I'm the smartest. Oh, you know what? No.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
Oh, man.
So that was my Saturday night. So then I had to Uber to get my car on Sunday and get
of
it
course.
Out of the lot.
Yeah.
So
no signage, though, when you went in saying this lot closes at 11, midnight,
all
that
right.
type of thing?
If I'm going to be honest, there was a sign that said the lot closed at 6:30. But
PM?
Yes, but... and the poker tournament started at like 4. But it said event parking, so I thought, oh, well, this is
an
clearly
event.
An event, and I thought it was the only event there.
Oh.
So that,
man.
So then when I got to my car yesterday,
man. It
had a little note on it that said, we're going to tow your car in 12 hours if you don't get it.
So
I had gotten it 12 hours just before they towed it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'm a genius.
Is that what we're saying?
That's the takeaway.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not doing good so far.
So far.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
You're not doing good
on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Hey, how about some animal stories, you guys?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I think only one of the animal stories today involves a person getting killed by an animal, Kevin. So I think this is a pretty reasonable batch for Friday, right?
I'm just not a fan of animal/death stories. Let's do one or the other.
Okay.
Right.
Here's a piece of advice if you're in a shopping mall in the Zhejiang province of eastern China. If they close the walkway above the shark tank, maybe don't push it open and insist on going that way. Because what will happen is you'll fall into the shark tank and it's not going to be pretty. That's what happened to a woman seen on video, by the way. They usually keep the shark tank, the roof of it closed. It has glass enclosure. But it was open because they were feeding the sharks, and that's why the walkway was closed.
Mm.
But this woman needed to get to Hot Topic. So she pushed the walkway aside and fell into a shark tank in the mall.
Mm.
She, by the way, was pulled from the water by two security guards and walked away completely fine and uninjured. But that is a trip to the mall she will not soon forget.
Hang on, let me scratch off people are dumb story about woman falling in shark tank. Okay, back to you.
All right, please do that. Here is a, we're also in China for this one. This is a man in Beijing who really didn't think he was going anywhere with his life. He's 31 years old. When he dropped out of school at around 15, he decided he didn't know what to do. He just spent most of his time playing video games at internet cafes. Log on, sleep, and repeat. One day, a friend urged him to check out some puppies for sale. What happened next, the man described as magical. He locked eyes with a black and white bundle of fluff. He adopted this dog, and he named him Silar after a character on the TV show Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started watching YouTube videos of dog trainers studying their techniques late into the night. He taught Silar how to high five, how to play dead, how to walk like a human, how to jump up and down on tables. And then he started putting videos up on YouTube. And then they got really, really popular. And then he ended up getting millions of views with almost a million followers on social media for his little dog.
Wow.
It was a gold mine. He turned that into opening a dog food and toy store and selling stuff online and merchandise with Silars. He became so rich that he thought, what can I do for my dog? I've already got a tattoo of his name on my forearm. What can I do for my dog who has made this incredible life for me? So he decided to build him the world's greatest dog house, which cost $500,000.
Holy crap.
Wow. He transformed the two-acre lot into a paradise for Silar with a spa, a trampoline, an indoor pool, two murals of Silar's face with a party room. This is
what?
The dog's. Yes!
He's living better than all of us!
Yes! A $500,000 doghouse. You should check out the video of this, by the way. Silar is doing pretty well for himself. But isn't it crazy that his whole life got turned around just because he adopted a cute dog?
You know when you date a guy or a girl and you make a home, and then maybe you get married, then you break up.
Right.
Then you date someone else, and they don't want to live in that same home.
Right.
Because it's just too much for the other person.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Dude's never getting another dog.
Yeah,
right?
I was
hoping thinking?
When Bean described the whole thing, I was hoping that the dog fell dead right then.
This is the death one.
Awesome.
Oh, you're the worst.
Here's your death story. A news report says a Rochester, New York man has died of a variation of mad cow disease after eating the brains of a squirrel that he killed.
Okay.
Well, I'm fine with this then.
The 61-year-old male was diagnosed with the rare brain infection. By the way, I had no idea that mad cow disease was still a thing in the United States. Did you know that there are over 350 cases per year of mad cow disease in the U.S.?
I thought it was gone for good.
Yeah.
I did,
I
too.
I thought that number would be zero.
I did, too. Wow. Apparently, it doesn't kill everybody because we'd be hearing a lot more about it. But this guy ate brains. And by the way, apparently there have been lots of stories. Doctors in Kentucky put out a warning sign about eating squirrel brains a few years ago after 11 people were diagnosed with it. All of them were squirrel brain eaters.
Oh, dear.
Who eats a squirrel brain?
I had no idea that this was a thing.
Why would anyone even think, oh, that's a squirrel? I'm going to eat its brain. What's happening?
I don't know. I mean, look, I understand if you're a hunter and you like to catch your own food and maybe you shoot a deer or something. Even if you shoot a squirrel, I would think that you would take the meat off the squirrel and you
right.
would eat that. Why would you eat the squirrel's brains? And finally, you might have seen this in the news. A young bongo calf.
What's
which
that?
Apparently is a thing. A bongo calf. Apparently it's a deer-like animal that is native to Kenya. There's only about 200 of them apparently in the wild today. This one was in a zoo in Sacramento. The bongo calf's name is Taylor Swift, by the way. And she escaped.
Oh, is this the death one?
No, the death one was the guy with the squirrel brains.
Sorry.
She escaped from her pen in the Sacramento Zoo. She's an antelope-type creature, mm-hmm. and they were able to corral her. But, you know, just like that jaguar in New Orleans a few months ago, the zoo closed the park's main gate and told guests they couldn't come in until Taylor was found quickly thereafter. Staff used baffle boards and tables to gently guide her on a pathway to put her back into her area. Zookeepers found minor cuts on the cat, but she is otherwise uninjured. I mean, I guess there was a blank space where she was supposed to be in her pen, is the only thing I can think about. Taylor.
Oh, look what you made him do.
This is
come on.
Not the first time the calf has escaped, so I guess they knew she was trouble.
Shake it off, you guys. We're going to be fine.
There were fears that the bongo could not be found, that she was never, ever getting back together with her mm-hmm. closure. But the zoo employees, when asked about the security breach, said they would shake it off, Allie.
Uh-huh.
And there was no bad blood
okay.
between them and Taylor.
Okay, good. What's the end game here?
The end game is that this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
A story came out yesterday that is very troubling to me.
Oof.
A lot of people have a fear of flying anyway, and it's mm-hmm. not really the fear of flying as much as it is the fear of crashing. And I don't care how seasoned a flyer you are, it crosses your mind every time you get on a plane that once in a great while a plane goes down. This Qantas Flight 94 from Los Angeles to Melbourne that took off on Sunday night went into a 10-second nosedive. 10 seconds of a plane going down
yeah.
has to feel like an eternity, right?
No question.
I mean, you are convinced after that amount of time that you are going to die. If a plane just went down swiftly, that
Lord.
Would be one thing. But this is a free fall nosedive,
yes.
a direct decline toward the ocean.
Oh.
It was between 1.5 and 2 hours after we left L.A., said a passenger. And all of a sudden, the plane went through a violent turbulence and then completely upended. And we were nosediving. We were all lifted from our seats immediately. We were in a free fall. It's that feeling like when you were at the top of a roller coaster and you've just gone over the edge of the peak and you start heading down. It was an absolute sense of losing your stomach and that we were nosediving. So, a couple of questions about this. I know it's terrifying even to imagine, even though all 484 people on board were fine. Nobody was even injured as a result of this, by the way.
Can I just say, when I'm up in the sky for an hour and a half, 2 hours, everything's fine. Because we already took off. That's when most
yes.
problems happen. I'm in the sky. Planes don't fall out of the sky. Now I have to worry about planes falling out of the sky.
Yes. Allie,
God
you
damn
and I
it.
Both had no idea of what happened to this plane
yes.
is something that is common.
It's caused by a vortex or, quote, wake turbulence caused by another aircraft. No! No, I don't want that.
This is so shocking to me because, look, I understand that air traffic control is a difficult job because there are hundreds and hundreds of planes in the sky at all times, and you have to keep track of them to make sure they don't run into each other. What I didn't know is that in this case, these two planes were 20 nautical miles apart, which, by the way, a nautical mile is even more than a regular
yes.
mile. So picture a plane being like 25 miles away. And it was at a different altitude of 1,000 feet. Yet those two planes were too close to each other in the sky, and that's what created this turbulence. Why have I never heard of this before?
And why do I need to know now? I didn't need to know this. I'm telling you, I didn't. I'm
and
upset.
By the way, this deep background on this this story, there are other cases of planes that have crashed as a result of this. So you can be a pilot flying a plane and doing everything right and have a completely healthy plane mechanically, and another plane can fly by you 20 miles away, and all of a sudden that creates an atmospheric disturbance that takes your plane down. Like, we need something else to worry about when we get on a plane.
If you're heading to the airport right now, sorry about this.
What goes through your mind, you think, if you honestly believe you're on a plane that's going down? When the 9/11 planes were hijacked, people had several minutes, and they tried to make phone calls. I think that's out of the question if you've got a plane that's just going down in a nosedive, right? I don't think you could even get a phone call off probably, right? How long would it take, I wonder, to hit the water from where this plane was flying?
I hate this conversation.
I know, it's terrible.
I mean, the only thing I can think is if you were up there and you had Wi-Fi, if you have the presence of mind just to fire off one email, like, I love you, that's it.
But can you imagine doing that when a plane's at 90 degrees?
No, I don't. I think you just, if you pray, you pray.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I think if you don't pray, you pray. You know?
I always wondered how this works. I'm not a big believer in religion. I'm very comfortable with other people getting strength and comfort and out of faith. I'm not a guy who is a believer, mm-hmm. but I think I might believe in Jesus in that last minute just in case it's all true.
Yeah.
I think I might give my life to Jesus because they always say it doesn't matter when in your life. If you give your life to Jesus, you get to go to heaven. So I think that's how I would bank it, is in that last 15 seconds I go, all right, Jesus, I'm with you.
We cool.
And I also would be thinking very hard in that final minute about what was on my browser at home. I think that would be a real concern.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. Introducing Rock and Roll.
Oh, Jensen. Nope.
That's my ska noise.
It's
the interrupters
weird.
Are here, ladies and gentlemen. The interrupters in the building here on the world famous K-Rock. Now, the whole band is here to be performing in a few minutes, but we have Amy and Kevin in studio with us right now. And I have to tell you, I was starting to get a little bit of a complex because your band seems to be crushing hard on Stryker and also Megan here at K-Rock. Very little Kevin and Bean love until today.
You know what? It starts now.
Okay, right. Well, we're happy about that. We're happy to have you. So all four of you guys are local?
Yeah.
Where'd y'all grow up?
The Valley. Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys. Went to high school right around here, though, at Hamilton. So all over LA, really.
Okay. Yeah.
So the three brothers are in a band. Amy's on the same bill. That's how you meet. Instant chemistry?
Pretty much. I mean, we definitely exchanged CDs that first night, and we were like, hey, we should write some songs together. And here we are 8 years later.
Nice. Yeah. Were you like, oh, these dudes again, Amy?
They're adorable.
They are.
I love them immediately.
They're like Ska Hansen.
Yeah.
Skansen.
Skansen.
Yes.
We've done it again.
We got to stop doing that. Yeah. Well, they're twin brothers.
Yeah.
So you know, and they are very hard to tell apart.
Yeah,
so.
They've got the same face, which I believe is what they mean by twins.
It's very common with twins.
Yeah. I'll look into it.
Okay. A lot of them look alike. Okay.
But they're a rhythm section, bass and drums. So we've got a really tight, good rhythm session. They're very like a telepathic.
Yeah. Totally
they can
in tune
each
with each
other.
Minds.
Yeah.
That's
so,
awesome.
Kevin, tell me about the Bavona kids. As little kids, I mean, were you banging around on instruments together like at 6 years old or something? Or is this something you came to like high school times?
No, pretty much. Yeah. We grew up, you know, our father's a musician. Our grandfather was a musician. So there was always instruments in the house. And as early as we could kind of pick up a guitar, I picked up a guitar. And then I kind of had Jesse play drums. And the only thing left was bass. And Justin ended up playing bass. And it just kind of worked out because he's a great bass player now. But that was, it was kind of like necessity is the mother of invention. But yeah, I mean, we grew up listening to K-Rock and trying to learn, you know, Green Day songs and Rancid songs and stuff. And so this is kind of mind-blowing for us right now.
It's not only mind-blowing that you're here, and we feel the same way about having you visit, but the bands you just mentioned are bands that you've ended up not only being in the universe with, but writing with, working with, producing with. I mean, that has to just blow your mind.
Yeah, it never gets old, for sure.
I love that Billy Joe was like, hey, here's a riff. If you guys want it, cool. If not, whatever. Were you like, holy crap.
Yes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Travis Barker has been a big proponent of your band for a long time. Is he, because we always argue he is the greatest person on the planet. Like, we can't think of anyone who's sweeter, who's nicer, who's more genuine.
I'm in the room, dude. I mean, Jesus. I mean,
other than Jensen.
Jensen included, by the way.
Oh, God.
Do you adore him like we do?
We love Travis, yeah. And he's been a supporter of our band since the beginning. We recorded our second record at his studio. He opened the door for us for free. And I mean, and Tim Armstrong, who produced all our records, like all these guys are so supportive and like they're like family for sure.
Yeah.
What's it like out of Southern California? Because you do tour a lot. Is there, forgive my ignorance on this, but ska never really went away for a certain population in Southern California. It'll always be popular here. with a certain number of people. Is that the case as you travel around? Is there a ska community in every town?
Definitely. There's a ska community
everywhere
you travel. Yeah.
It never really goes away. It just kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Maybe to the mainstream in and out, you know, but every time we pull up to a city and we play a show, there's definitely kids there dancing that keeping the dream alive.
You started out as a straight up rock and roll band and then got into punk? Or no, is that wrong?
We've always like kind of played punk rock, and that's what we grew up doing, and that's where our heart is. So, I mean, we've, you know, played some reggae here, some rock there, and just kind of like, you know, anything we like, we don't discriminate. That's a beautiful thing about modern times, too, is no one's really that genre specific anymore. Like, I only listen to this type of music, and that's the great thing about, like, you know, all streaming and all that stuff, so.
Did you ever think, like, in 2018, like, you guys are killing it, it's being added on all these radio stations, like, who kind of saw that coming with Scott? You guys are kind of doing the unthinkable.
We're pinching ourselves, and we're just so grateful, like, that we're getting love on radio. We didn't think, like, you know, 7 years ago when we started like a ska punk band that we were gonna, you know, be climbing the charts.
And the first time you heard yourself was here, right? You were listening to K-Rock, and you were like, "That's us."
Yeah, Stryker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stryker played us at 420.
That's why they love Stryker the most. Understandable.
Makes some sense.
But we are really so blown away by the love that we're getting, and we just thank you guys for believing in us from the beginning.
Look, and we say this all the time to bands. We're not on the air. We're not a radio station without great music from great bands. So we appreciate you so much making something that our audience enjoys so much. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And it's interesting, Amy, to hear you say that the radio play is something that's so unexpected. And I get what you're saying, because for most people, the music is the reward. The fact that we created this and now we have something that we love and then we can share, most people don't dream beyond that. The last thing you expect is you're playing the Kimmel show like you were last week. Yeah. And then you have to wake up that day and go, I'm going to be playing songs tonight that people are going to be able to see in Hawaii and in Maine. This is big time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We are seriously blown away by it. Every day we're just like pinching ourselves. So,
the thing that I love is you posted you meeting one of your absolute heroes, Joan Jett.
Yes.
And this relationship through just looking at this picture, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, that's going to be some little girl listening to you right now. In like 10 years, she's going to meet you and it's going to be that same thing.
That's nuts, right?
Yeah.
So don't be a dick, Amy, I think is what
that's what I'm saying.
That's what Ali's saying.
If you feel anything from if you sit in a room with the interrupters, the first thing you think about is these guys are dicks.
Boy, they're full of themselves.
The boys honestly look 11 years old, which is something we should also address, that each of them needs chaperones on tour.
They are definitely drinking a lot of water.
Children.
Your skin looks great. Everyone.
I thought I was watching some of your videos yesterday from a tour, and you guys are out there looking very sharp in your suits, and I was thinking they look like little kids who had to go to a wedding. The Interrupters has been our guest. The album is called Fight the Good Fight. It was released on June 29th. You've been hearing the song She's Kerosene a lot here on K-Rock. It's one of our best songs we're playing right now. But what are you going to be doing first for us here, guys?
This is a little ditty called Take Back the Power.
I can't wait. Live Interrupters playing acoustic on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader? Who will you follow? Are you a fighter? Who will you cower? It's our time to take back the power. What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader? Who will you follow? Are you a fighter? Who will you cower? It's our time to take back the power.
Yeah. What just happened?
Look at that.
You guys, I'm a leader and I'm going to fight. That's my plan. Whoa.
Interrupters played acoustic live here on K-Rock. That is a song from your first album, I want to say.
Is that from your first album?
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice. Way to sell the new record, you guys.
He broke a string on that one.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Play it hard. The Interrupters are the band. Their new album is called Fight the Good Fight. It's available everywhere. We love you so much. You got a home here at K-Rock. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I saw the press release from Sonic Drive-In that they were unveiling nationwide their new pickle juice slush.
Are those words you want to hear together?
No. Not for me. Look, I don't... Kevin, you're not a pickle fan, right?
Yeah, I'd rather die.
All right. How about you, Allie?
I like a pickle.
I do too. Yeah. I like a pickle on like on a veggie burger or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't drink pickle juice or eat pickles out of the jar or anything like that.
Well, what if the slushy tasted exactly like a pickle?
I don't need it.
You guys like a pickle, so why
not? I like pickles on like a Subway sandwich or something.
Oh, is it an addition?
Not just as a main course. No.
I see.
The bright green limited time drink will be joined by three new summertime flavors, the fast food chain announced. Sonic's guests are game to try adventurous and fun flavors, so we've made it our mission to deliver the best of both worlds, blah, 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 blah. So we were talking about this, and we're thinking this is not something we need to try, but maybe we could send mugs. And then we realized there's no Sonic near us. And that's when Rachel comes in. Kevin and Bean listener, who said she lives near a Sonic. She'd be happy to try it out for us. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, you guys.
You were very kind to weigh in on Twitter yesterday about our pickle discussion. Now, before we hear about your trip across the street to the Sonic, where were you and your boyfriend on pickles? What was your relationship with pickles prior to this?
We both really love pickles. I feel fine about pickle juice. I wouldn't drink it to quench my thirst, but right. I really like pickles.
Okay, so you both feel that way. All right.
So you went last night or today, or when did you go?
I went last night when I got home from work. Mm-hmm.
And they're selling the pickle juice slush.
Yes.
And you said those words. I'd like a pickle juice slushy.
I did.
Out loud. Okay.
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did they say, you're the first person to ask for that?
I know. I thought, I hope it's not sold out, but then I figured that probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah, probably not.
I might actually be the first one.
So just so I understand the transaction, you handed over hard-earned American money, and they pushed to you from their side of the counter something called a pickle juice slush.
And I got it 50% off because I went after 8 o'clock.
Who knew that was a deal?
Yes.
And what's the slush go for, Rachel?
Well, half off it was about $2.89, I think.
Holy crap.
So this is like
$5?
It's a $5
for
slush?
Ice?
That's incredible.
Yes.
Whoa. And what did your boyfriend get?
He got the Tiger Blood slush.
The tiger blood slush.
Yes.
How many tigers do they have to kill for that?
Yeah, what does that mean? What is the tiger blood?
I don't really know, but it tasted kind of like cherry-ish, citrusy.
Okay, like if you were to bite into a tiger.
So everybody knows that.
Right.
So Tiger's Blood, Blue Hawaiian, Bahama Mama, and the Pickle Juice Slush. Those are the four new flavors at Sonic. All right, are we ready for Rachel's big reveal?
I mean, I feel like we are.
Mm-hmm. Ready for the review?
Yes.
So how was the Pickle Juice Slush?
It might have been one of the most disgusting things I've ever had in my life.
And you love pickles.
Somebody loves pickles.
Yeah. I was hoping for maybe something more like subtly pickle flavor. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was hoping for the best, that it would maybe be okay, but it was disgusting.
What a weird thought that yesterday during the day you were trying to guess what this was going to taste like.
Will it be tangy? Will it be?
That's weird. I hope it's really a light taste.
Was it super salty?
Yes. It was very sour and very salty.
Oh no.
Like I felt thirsty
afterwards.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their plan. You order that, then you're like, God damn it, I need the tiger's blood.
Right.
And then they sell you too.
Maybe.
Did you try the tiger's blood as well?
Yes, that was very good.
Oh. Huh. How much of the pickle slush did you drink, Rachel?
Like not even an eighth of
wow.
it.
Wow.
That's a pretty bad attitude about the pickle slush.
That's a big
really
waste of $2.50, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know.
That was half price.
And I tried putting some whiskey in it, hoping that maybe...
good idea.
I like the way you think.
Right. I'm supporting all of this.
But it somehow made it even, more bitter and more salty. It's like the alcohol got rid of, any sweetness out of it. You couldn't even taste the alcohol. It was just even worse.
Wow. This is a colossal disaster, you guys.
By the way,
according to Food & Wine magazine, they reveal that Sonic will also let customers add a squirt of pickle syrup to any item on the menu. They're really doubling down on this pickle thing, aren't they?
Do you want pickle syrup on
stuff? No!
Ew.
Yes, ew indeed, Rachel. Exactly. All right, so I'm going to put you down as a no then on pickle slush.
Yes, absolutely.
Hard pass. Never,
you may like it if you like really, really, really love pickle juice, but I don't know. It was disgusting.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's your review right there. Right? Thank you, Rachel. We appreciate you listening. Thanks for working for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, you're welcome.
It's Kevin and Bean!
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Look, an apple's an apple, am I right?
No.
No.
You're way wrong.
This conversation's been going on for days.
Well, it's important, Kevin, and that's why. It's important. Right. Look, here's what I'm going to say. There's no easier way to get into a fight at work than to start ranking foods.
Yeah.
I'm still furious at Allie for disparaging pumpkin pie, for instance. I can't
disgusting.
Even look at her. I can't even
I
look at her
right?
anymore.
It's nasty.
It's sweaty pie.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And you get out of my field of vision too, oh. So then Dave shares some news, because Dave's on all the hot websites apparently.
Right.
That after 50 plus years, Red Delicious has now fallen to number 2 as the most grown U.S. apple, as Gala, depending on how you pronounce it, takes the number 1 spot. So the most popular apple in America for our entire lives has been the Red Delicious. It is no longer. Now it is number 2. And I saw that and I said, how could one person choose a Red Delicious apple? It's easily the worst of all apples.
What?
It's horrible.
Okay, listen, that's just stupid.
No, it's
not. No, here's the thing. You can like a green apple or any other apple more than a red apple. Mm-hmm. Stop saying it's horrible.
No, it is horrible.
It's an apple.
It's so mealy when you taste it. It's so mealy. It doesn't have that crispness, that flavor, the sweetness. It doesn't have anything. It's just like eating... It's like eating wet cardboard.
Yeah, it's like it's.
So it's a texture
that's what it
tastes
like.
For you.
Where are you guys buying your fruit, by the way?
Right?
It's gross.
You guys need to buy. I just go to Stater's. They have excellent fruit. I eat a Red Delicious. Well, when Kevin doesn't take a bite out of it, asshole. I'm not kidding, Kevin. I have an apple and I bring it to work and I put it on my little work desk, and he'll just go in to record a commercial or something, and he'll take a bite out of it, and then just place it just so I can't see it.
Yeah.
And then when I go eat my apple, Ari has a bite taken out of it.
Has that happened more than once?
It's happened like 10 times.
Okay.
Every single time I don't notice.
But here's what
so
I'd like to say.
It's on you.
Dumb that you haven't noticed.
Okay.
And B, or two, it's a red delicious apple.
And
it's great.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why would you, when you go to Stater Brothers, Omar.
Yeah.
Why would you choose a Red Delicious? Because I'm sure they sell Braeburns. I'm sure they sell Honeycrisp. I'm sure they sell the Gala. I'm sure they have lots of other apples that you know are better.
Absolutely. I've never heard of those apples.
My favorite's the Braeburn.
Okay.
The Braeburn is a great apple.
Yeah, but sometimes they're like $1.50 a pound. So I just go with the cheaper, the Red Delicious, because I don't really care what I eat here at work.
Okay.
You know, it's not for flavor. It's just to fill my tummy.
Yeah.
Do you know why the Red Delicious apples are so cheap?
No, I don't.
Because they're terrible. That's why. Because they need to make them cheap to get anyone to buy them.
But Allie's pick blew my mind, because this apple is hella nasty.
It's the best.
No.
A Granny Smith green apple. A little tart, a little sweet. Oh, that is good time.
When you bite into a Granny Smith apple, you bite into this layer of wax, because for some reason, the Granny Smith apple, the skin is extra thick, and when you bite into it, this spit develops right here in the back.
You're buying bad apples.
No. It's because it's sweet and tart, and it's just
it is the tartest. I think it is the most tart of all the apples.
I love it.
And I like that one
Omar
too.
I think Omar is right, by the way, that there is something about the skin. I don't know about the way they're processed or they're preserved or something like that, but it is super, super shiny. It's almost like they've encased it in plastic.
Don't blame
cover.
The Granny Smith for being beautiful. It can't help it.
Nobody likes Granny.
All right, let's hold on for 1 second and take a call. Let's go. Let's go to Dan and Pico.
Well, this better be Honeycrisp or get the F out is what this better be.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I can't believe I'm talking about apples this morning.
Right?
Yeah. I got to say, I agree with Bean. Red Delicious apples blow.
They're the worst apple in the world.
That's absurd.
I'll tell you what's the best.
Look, they could not be the best, and they could not be the best, but they're still good.
They're terrible. Mm.
That's ridiculous.
No, you're eating styrofoam and dust. It's garbage.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Hey, all right, so what's your pick then? If you have your choice, you go into Omar's Stater Brothers. Hopefully you push him out of the way so you don't let him make another bad decision. What do you buy?
I buy Pink Lady apples.
Ooh. Oh, so Pink Lady.
And I don't think I know
like
what
a hybrid.
I've never heard of that one either.
That is... That is more popularly known as the Cripps Pink Apple. The Cripps Pink Apple. And
the
those
blood
are
one?
Throw up the signs
right?
and stuff. What's up, man?
Now, how did you get turned on to that? Because that's
he was
not
jumped
some...
in, Bean. Are you listening?
Okay, all right. He was driving down the road with his headlights off, and then he had to go buy a pink lady. All right, sir. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Zita. She's my soulmate. She's on line three. She's calling with her apple choice.
Hey, Zita.
Hi, how are you?
We are good. We're having a problem with the apples, though.
Okay, I will only buy Honeycrisp apples from Costco or Whole Foods.
Best apple on the market today is the Honeycrisp.
Okay, which one is that?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's got a little bit of a, it's mostly red, but it has some yellow on it a little bit, I guess.
Yes, yellow on it on the top.
So it's discolored?
It's really
no,
crispy.
No, it's not discolored. That's how it's supposed to look. And how do you describe the sweetness and the tanginess? It's so much better than most of the other apples, right?
Yes, and it's very crispy, and it's not mushy at all in the middle. It's very, very tangy, and then there's a little bit of sweetness in it. It's the best apple. It's like, but it's very expensive. I think it's the most expensive of them all.
It is the most expensive of them all. Yes.
Rich Zita.
Rich Zita.
She's an apple snob.
Zita, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Now, let me ask you this, Kevin.
Yeah.
When you go in, do you do any of your own
vegetable
and fruit marketing?
Or do you
send away? Okay. When you go in, what's your strategy when you get to the apple section? Do you just go and literally pick the first apple that's nearest to
you? No, I look at the red ones and I look at the green ones. Those are the only two I know is red and green.
Right.
And whichever one looks better, I take. They're both good. Sometimes one's better, the other's not.
So
no
in
big
your
deal.
Mind, all red apples are the same.
I mean, yeah, I've not heard of any of these names of apples.
Oh, my God.
I've not heard of them.
All right. I don't even know what's happening
being
here.
So disgusting.
All right. I am. Take your fruit seriously. All right. Let's do Sarah Lakewood, line four, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. She wants to weigh in with a different opinion.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Good luck. There's a lot of yelling going on.
I believe that the Fiji apple is the best apple in the bunch.
The Fiji apple?
I think you mean the Fuji, don't you?
It's Fuji.
Ooh la la la.
No.
You're right.
Okay, so Fuji. All right, what do you like about that compared to the other apples?
Because they're very juicy, mm-hmm. and that's my favorite type of fruit is just the juice running down my face.
Oh,
go on. Yes.
Yes. You know what? Fuji's my favorite too now.
Gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, I've never heard a bigger crock of bull crap in my life.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
All right, Allie, how did you develop your gift? How did you become a dream interpreter?
Just one day we were talking about a segment, and I'm like, I can interpret dreams. And you said, what? And I'm like, trust me.
I'm happy we got that detail.
Yep. Yeah.
I am too. Mike, thank you for calling and holding on. You're on with Allie, the dream interpreter.
Awesome. I'm super excited.
All right.
Hi, Mike. What's your dream? What's your dream?
So my dream is... I have a dream that one day, my dream, my dog, an American Staffordshire, takes me out on a walk, and while we're walking, she's wearing a MAGA hat, and a weird detail about it is when I go do my business, every dream I have to go do my business, number two, and if I don't do it on the grass, I've done it on the sidewalk, she just barks at me the entire time.
Right.
So you and your dog switch places, basically, on a walk.
I hope, at least, for the dream. You don't do that in real life.
Well, all right. I mean, are you kink shaming me?
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Allie, what do you make of that?
A lot of times when you dream about poop in any way, it's about fixing or having to clean something up. So what you are exhibiting here is there's something in your life that you're out of control with now. Because when it's the dog pooping, you clean it up, you fix it. But now it's you doing it, a dog having to fix it. Oh. You don't know how to go about that. So you're very nervous that you've done something that you can't fix.
Boom.
What about the hat?
The MAGA hat just means that you need to get a new dog because your dog is obviously a freak.
And a Republican.
Very weird. Very weird.
I thought it had to do with poofing, but thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mike. By the way, I think I blew it before we went to Mike's call. We do have a big Omar intro. Let's hit that now. Dreams. What do they
pickle? Why can't my boobs get bigger?
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Woo! Don't pull out.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Smell it.
Allie Dream Interpreter. Come on now, Allie.
Suck it.
Oh, that was that was worth the wait.
That was
so
beautiful.
Worth it.
Yeah. That was stunning. Yeah.
Lexi is on line three. She is in Monrovia. She's going to challenge you with her dream. Lexi, good morning. You're on with Allie Dream Interpreter.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
So
Lexi.
My dream takes place in the 1920s, and I'm like super pregnant, bunch of kids running around, but I don't have anything remotely close lined up, like romantically, financially, education-wise. It's just a bizarre dream that keeps on happening.
Huh. All right, Lexi. What this means is you're thinking of a role in the 1920s, a woman maybe a little bit subservient, if you will. Her only role would be to have the kids, that type of thing. You feel like you're being held back in some part of your life, and you don't want that to happen, so you keep dreaming it, knowing it's not really there, but it's your subconscious way of saying you need to break out of whatever it is that you think is holding you back at the moment. What's holding you back, Lexi?
I'm having some trouble becoming a teacher, to be honest.
Yeah.
Passing that last B-set that California happened to change. So that is definitely holding me back.
That's the boulder in her path,
yeah.
Allie.
That's your pregnant baby is that teacher.
And the children running around. Right. It's almost a perfect metaphor.
Yeah, well, no
you're
kidding.
Welcome.
And do you have any relatives that have passed on with the letter B in their name? Or wait, are we doing something else?
No,
I'm sorry.
Totally different. Totally
All right, Lexi, thank you for the call. I hope that helps. Good luck being a teacher, too. I hope that works out for you. All right. How about a maybe turn this one down if the kids are in the car. Give us 1 minute with Valerie. Line four, she's in Linwood. She is up next with Allie on The Kevin and Bean Show.
So basically, I am trying to masturbate while in the shower in my old childhood home.
Oh.
But I have a bunch of different family members, about 50, coming in and out of the restroom, and some are trying to hold the shower curtain. I'm trying to keep the clothes, and it's just like a big old party in there while I'm trying to do my own stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's not race through the details of this one.
I want to make sure
Allie has enough information to properly rule.
I think I'm good, Bean. I think I'm good. Here's the thing, Valerie. You're trying to get something done in your life, but a lot of people keep interrupting it, whether it's people that are telling you you're not doing it right, people that are telling you you should be doing other things. You need to stay the course. Don't listen to these other voices that are telling you you should be doing something else. You know what's best for you, and that's going to give you the best result. You know what I'm saying?
Also, maybe get a door lock.
That could help.
Yeah,
that
maybe
help.
It could mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
Great. All right. Hey, call back early and often. Valerie, thank you. This has been Allie Dream Interpreter.
Allie Dream Interpreter.
Woo!
It's my favorite part of the show when they have the crazies on.
I know. I feel so guilty for laughing, but it is so funny.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This is the time of year where we start to reflect back on the year that was, in this case, 2018. We have something on the show called drops or sound bites, depending on which radio term you like to use. And it's the little clips of funny audio sometimes that we play throughout the show. And some of them become very popular with our listeners. We get requests for drops sometimes from people.
Bean is spectacular at working these in.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, you're very sweet to say that. I definitely enjoy it. In fact, I've said many times that my goal, my radio goal, is to not have to talk anymore and just be a guy who hits buttons that plays sound bites.
Yeah.
So every year we try to put together the top 10 sound bites that kind of represent the year that was. And I'm telling you, it was real tough this year. I mean, some of the ones that didn't make it, for instance.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic. Touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
That didn't make
that
the top 10.
That didn't make the top 10.
I want to recount.
Mean, that's how great this year was.
Yeah.
This one, not on the top 10.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but
what is on this list?
Any of these could have been number one.
This is a terrible list you've assembled.
I think what he's saying is it's the best list.
I'm saying it's a great list.
Let's wait and see.
And you're by the way, a lot of people mock our president, but we are going to miss the human soundbite machine when he's gone. I'm telling you, we're going to miss the Covfefe and the smocking gun and everything else that he does. This was one that I was in love with for like a month, but then forgot about. And I can't believe it.
It's a trap.
I mean, come
that's on.
That's
on you.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
All right, but we did narrow it down to 10. Hit it, Steve.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot? This is Top Drops. Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top? Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top?
The Top Drops of 2018.
All right, this number 10, I have to give Jensen all the credit. Ooh. It was a late-in-the-year sneak-in that Jensen made us aware of, and we've just all fallen in love with it.
Number 10!
That is Tim Allen. And what's the deal? That was on every episode of Home Improvement, Jensen?
Yes, Allie did a story about Tim Allen, and I went, and everyone looked at me.
We mocked you endlessly.
And I said that every episode of Home Improvement at the end of the theme song, he does that, and then we proved it. And now it is, it hopefully will be in the legacy of the show forever.
Number 10.
Here's number 9. This is what I think is going to make you guys smile when you remember little Brady that we had on the phone one day.
Number 9.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
Remember little Brady?
Sure.
Yes.
All right, this is a number 8, and I apologize in advance to any dogs that are listening, but I got
number 8.
I mean,
he couldn't get that to stop for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think I'm exaggerating.
Mm-mm.
About 3 months.
It was several weeks at least, but
please.
I could not get it to stop, and it was driving me insane. And I heard it 24 hours a day until I finally figured it out. So I started bringing it onto the air, and so many people complained because of their poor dogs, and I apologize.
This is Top Drops.
All right, let's see what's next here.
Number 7. What they do.
I love it so much.
I think that's my favorite because it's the worst that you made the best by the way you used it. Because the first time you played it, we mocked you endlessly.
Yeah, it made no sense.
And then you started using it really at well-timed places. Mm-hmm. So congrats on getting that one in the top 10.
And then yesterday, a little behind the curtain, he did admit he had been sitting on it for months.
For months. Yes. Couldn't wait to play
it. Got a lot
it.
Of stuff like that.
The OJs from around 1974, I think, from their song Backstabber. So yeah, I sat on that one for a while. All right, we continue to count down the top 10 sound bites of the year. Here's number 6.
Number 6.
Oh, hello.
I mean, come on.
That's my number 1 in my heart.
Jesse, you guys.
Caller Jesse.
Kevin, what was the story on Jesse?
You said, let's take one more call. I guarantee this is going to be a good one. We went to him and he said that. And we just moved it into a commercial. We just said, nope, sorry.
Here's number 5. I think this one also needs a warning, just like the smoke detector, because this is one of the most terrifying sounds that you've ever heard.
Number 5.
Oh, man, oh, man.
I hate it.
Remember that video of that guy? I think he was in Alaska or something, and those lynxes were shouting at each other.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Jensen, I think you're going to be very happy about this one, too. Number 4.
Number 4.
Bong, bong.
Yeah.
Bong, bong.
Good one.
Bong, bong.
This is Top Drops.
Now, Bong Bong is, was it RZA?
Yeah, RZA,
yeah.
The way he just basically says right on or I hear ya is Bong Bong.
And he said it to me. I was interviewing him at Comic-Con, and I had no idea what it meant, but I knew for a fact that I should know what it meant. The way he said it, the way he delivered it, it was like, well, that's just something I missed out on.
And what I love about it is it's like aloha. It's just one of those terms that is effective in many different situations. Like you can use Bong Bong as an exclamation. You can use it as a question. You can use it anywhere. Here's number 3. I don't think there was a piece of music that we played more than this one this year.
Number 3.
Whoop-dee-scoop.
Sure.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
All-time classic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kanye is a genius, or was. I think we can all agree.
Yes. Sure.
Now that we've had a few months to reflect on Poopity Scoop, which I think was actually called Lift Yourself in the album, what do we think about it? Is it great or is it garbage?
I mean, it's great for the drop.
It's both.
I don't think I'll ever bump it in my car
it's
while
driving down the street. It's garbage that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 2 is going to take you back to the spring, I think. This is one of the most controversial sound bites of the year. Why are you laughing?
Don't know.
I just think it's funny that we have a controversial drop.
Right. It was very controversial. This was the drop that we got the most requests in 2018 to stop playing.
Oh, I know.
What is it, Allie?
It's Pippa.
It's Pippa. It's a little dog named Pippa in Australia who used to every day, several times a day, run down and bark at a crocodile. And one day the crocodile was fast enough to take Pippa out. And it's a horrifying piece of tape.
It cracked me up that you played it once, let alone many times.
And then we
started.
People.
Yes, of all people.
Then we started calling back just to see maybe today's the day Pippa's going to make it. But unfortunately, she never did. And here it is.
Number two.
Ah!
No.
The funniest part of that is the excitement for a half a second.
Right.
Yes. And then just disaster.
No, that is the modern day Hindenburg.
It's so awful. This is Top Drops. All right. The number one soundbite of 2018. There was never any doubt, even though a lot of other great audio came along in the year, when the Super Bowl happened last year. And we saw this in a television commercial.
Oh.
We knew it would be on our list and on our air forever.
Number one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin! Nobody asked you, Kevin.
I mean, when I saw that, I was just like, oh, my year is going to be something.
How perfect is that? And that's the top 10 soundbites of 2018.
This is Top Drops.
The Top Drops of 2018.
I really don't like any of them.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
How can you say that, bro?
So maybe they're not politically correct, but it's funny.
K-Rock.
I know the answer for Kevin, and it's Rage Against the Machine. But let me ask Jensen and Allie, who is the band that you were most broken up about when they broke up? That destroyed your heart that they broke up, and you were so sad because they were so great, and you can't believe they didn't stay together.
I have a second place one, but go ahead. Allie?
Maybe Oasis.
Oasis is at the top of a lot of people's lists. That was a tough one.
Because it's a twofer. You love their music, and then they're brothers, and they hate each other.
Yeah. Oasis is a good one.
My rap answer is Third Base.
Okay.
It's a group from the 80s and early 90s that did Pop Goes the Weasel.
Goes the Weasel Goes Pop?
That one. That was a tough one for me.
Okay. And was there a chance at some point that they might get back together, but they never did? Like, they never reformed or anything?
Absolutely. They did the Bad Woodstock, and then they, like,
we were at the Bad Woodstock, and it was horrible.
I know. And then a couple of years ago, they did a show in Brooklyn, it was like a club show, and then there were rumors they're going to do more, and they didn't. But I've never seen them live, so that's rough for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not really a breakup, but the Nirvana one hit me the hardest, that they wouldn't have any new music from that.
Yeah,
one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are my two.
Okay.
Yeah, that's legit. Well, I have there are a few in my lifetime. Led Zeppelin would be one.
Mm-hmm.
That was devastating to me because I felt like they could have gotten another drummer, but the rest of the guys in the band, they said, it's not Led Zeppelin without John Bonham, and we're not going on. It's the four of us, and that's the magic, right? And I have to respect that decision, but that one hurt me a lot. And ABBA was another one.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA hurt me.
Okay.
Because they were so great.
Right.
Now I have a third to add to the list, you guys.
No.
And we are listening to Witch Rot right now.
I thought you were summoning a spirit.
Right?
We're listening to Witch Rot right now. And I didn't know about them until about 15 minutes ago.
But now you're broken up.
And I am devastated.
Right.
Beyond words.
Yeah.
Witch Rot is a band out of Toronto. Chip, I can tell you're already loving them.
I was hoping for Hate Beak, but I'm in on this.
Yeah, this is very Hate Beak-like. This is their song on SoundCloud called Druid Smoke Part 1.
Oh.
They broken up, you guys. There's no more witch rot, and I'm going to tell you why after we enjoy a little of the singing that goes along with this beautiful music. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are enjoying Witch Rot on K-Rock.
Are we enjoying it?
Yes, yes we are.
Okay.
Wait till you hear why they broke up. Here we go. This may be the last thing they ever do, you guys.
Is it because they didn't know how to mix their songs?
I mean, the production is great.
Is she in a tunnel?
What the hell?
I don't know.
She's in the same city.
We can't get the singer any louder? All right, let's break up.
By the way, on SoundCloud, they also have Druid Smoke Part 2.
Sure.
Oh,
they have Devil's Dirt.
Oh, Devil's Root's my favorite.
And Crypt Reaper. Crypt Reaper.
That was my dad's high school nickname.
By the way, Crypt Reaper is 11 minutes and 19 seconds.
Oh, just the perfect amount of time.
So here's what happened to Witch Rot, and this was their fan must have taken this very hard when this was announced on Facebook.
The Witch Rot heads, right.
Due to the unfortunate reality of our guitarist effing my girlfriend of almost 7 years. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Witch Rot will be taking an extended hiatus. I, however, will continue the band in another space and time, being ripe with hate. The music is slowly flowing and without a doubt will become the most devastating, torturous music I have ever created.
Well, again?
Because that was way too cheery.
Right? Right. They're going to get heavy on the next record, you guys.
Right, sure.
Thanks for the support. Stay heavy, Peter. Also, our drummer died.
Wait, what? What? P.S.?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Seems like there should be more than an also leading up to that part.
He buried the lead. Or buried the drummer.
That's the second reason why they're breaking up. You know, we might have stayed together with the drummer gone, but this thing with my girlfriend, that will not stand. Now Witch Rot is over, you guys.
It's almost like he forgot about the drummer dying until just at the end.
So
he was
mad.
Like, oh, by the way, also a drummer.
Witch Rot's most popular performance on YouTube is at the Bovine Sex Club in Toronto. Imagine being in a sex club and Witch Rot playing.
And it's called the Bovine.
Yeah. And Witch Rot, Peter from the band, who I assume is the leader of the band, I guess. The photo that goes along with it is apparently has smashed his guitar into a million pieces. And it's in a sad dumpster almost covered by snow. So he's having a rough week there at Witch Rot. And not as bad as the drummer is.
Right, sure.
But so along with Rage Against the Machine and Nirvana and Oasis, mm-hmm. we have to add Witch Rot to the list. I'm sorry to say. A great
band that may never
perform together again.
There's going to be a gaping hole in K-Rock's absolute almost acoustic Christmas night two.
They were going to be the surprise guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you could never say gaping hole again.
Right, I would appreciate that
again,
as well.
My dad's other high school nickname.
Come on now.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's cool. I'm guessing it's many things. Cool is probably the one thing it's not. It's not.
The world famous K-Rock.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, you Hall of Fame radio broadcasters.
Oh, come on,
don't
man.
Even start like that.
What are you guys doing?
We were doing well right up until now.
You guys have nothing to worry about.
Look. We know we're terrible, okay? You're not going to come in here and break any news here. I know you do the B-Team podcast with your little friends, and you go back and listen to old tapes of the Kevin and Bean Show and critique it.
Yeah.
We know we sucked.
Listen, I beg to disagree, because if you sucked, then you would not be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Why don't you shut up and just get to the clips?
Alongside the likes of Vince Scully, Bob Hope.
I mean...
Jack Benny.
Unreal. Right.
Larry King.
What?
Yes, they all deserved it.
Casey
exactly.
Kasem.
No.
A legend like Wolfman Jack.
I know.
Wow.
There was one mistake that was made, and it was the year they put it into the Hall of Fame.
I don't think they even knew it was us, because the day we got inducted to the Hall of Fame, they tweeted, congrats to Kevin and Bean from Kiss FM. They tweeted that.
Yeah.
I don't think they even knew it was us.
But I think they thought they were getting Seacrest.
Listen, you guys try to downplay your greatness.
Yeah, all right.
And,
what
you
do
know,
you got?
Allie, let's face it. We work with legends. We
really
radio legends.
Right.
You know,
really piling it on
okay,
here.
Let's get to the embarrassing clips.
I'm thankful.
They're approaching 30 years.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the
K-Rock.
Clips.
Yeah. Bring in the yucks. You know what I mean? They're just so awesome. And over the years, I've done a couple of song tributes to you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done like...
Sorry.
You take all of the time right there, so...
Listen, you guys are masters of the mic. We all know that, right? You guys are titans of the talk.
Oh,
you guys
gosh.
Are behemoths of broadcasting. So I've done
this
a couple...
This is going to be really bad,
so I've done a couple of songs like, you know, Kevin's a big-headed drunkie, but, you know, I've been along this journey with you for about 15 years here with Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have...
Are there any clips associated with
this? There is.
Can we get to those?
I'm going to do a heartfelt song tribute.
Oh.
Because, you know, I've always done a song kind of like, you know, mocking Kevin and Bean. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I think, post being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame... You guys, like a fine wine, have gotten better with age. So I did a little tribute song, and this is all post,
right?
I put together a little tribute for you guys, and I want to give props. Trevor, the imaging director, did the vocals on this. And this is just a little tribute to Kevin and Bean and how they've just gotten better since being inducted to the Radio Hall of Fame.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier. When the morning comes, you want to have some fun. But when you turn on the mic, we can hear you, and you sound so stupid and so dumb.
How are you, boy?
Every moment with, would you like to take that back? Because you talk for a living, and I can't believe they let you broadcast on air.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
You talk for a living. I cannot believe that you guys get paid to do this.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
You guys are freaking idiots.
I'm just a dumbass.
This is a tribute to...
Why?
Tribute to Kevin and Bean.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 at noon. Friday, 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
Very talented actor Dylan McDermott here on the K-Rock Morning Show. What? That's us, right, Kevin?
I don't think we've ever called it that.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Still Afro with an H?
They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you to bring your breath back or whatever. It's probably not the best description.
And then to get that response, just pours fire on the you know, gasoline, whatever. However that one works.
Agreed.
However that works.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. We have your calls on the air.
What? No.
Is that not right? 323-520-AFRO.
Yep.
That's the number
for the Kevin and Bean Afro line.
Jesus.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You are listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Now, I know that's a tenuous... What's the word I'm looking for after tenuous? Anyone? Just being quiet on purpose, because that's the rule. I know that's a weak example, is what I'm trying to say.
Would it be a connection? A connection? Connection? Could that be it?
Thank you, Bean. Connection is the word I could not think of.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Wow, this is something.
The only thing I can think is mistaken door.
Doorbell identity?
No, I was thinking, I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
Yeah, you guys are real, what's the word I'm looking for?
Discerning. You're really discerning.
Woo!
Andrew Siciliano on the line. Andrew Siciliano, I should say, more pronounced the better.
Huh? What? You all right?
More pronounced better.
Oh, you blow. You blow. You blow, blow, blow.
That's the secret success, secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
I mean,
I gotta admit,
counting.
I gotta admit, that was pretty good.
You're welcome.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.